In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We read from Psalm 119 a moment ago. The entire psalm, the longest in the scriptures, is a song of praise and wonder at the wisdom and the power and the glory of the law of God. And at the beginning of our passage, as we read it today, it says something. Oh, how I love your law. All the day long it is in my mind. Now, I'm a priest. There probably isn't one day in my whole life where the law of God was in my mind the whole time. Because at some point I wanted a sandwich or something. So I'm not on par with our psalmist today. But I find it very interesting that the psalmist, whoever this is not one of the professionals in the faith. Look what he says in the following verses. Let's see. Your commandment has made me wiser than my enemies. That's good. I have more understanding than my teachers. I am wiser than the elders. So that's someone sitting in your spot talking about me. I'm wiser than my teachers and I have more understanding than the elders. But what does that tell us about the law of God? Even in the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant's even greater, the law of God is available to you. You ought not rely on me for your spiritual identity and understanding of who God is. You may rely on the organization of the church when we gather as a body and we have sacraments and then we're organized. But realize that the majority of your life in Christ is lived outside this place. How many of you have a copy of the Bible at home? Most everybody? How many have more than one different translation? 3? 4? 16? How many of you, when something of God comes to mind, might go look up that favorite verse of yours? How many people have, I don't know, the 23rd Psalm memorized out of the King James Bible, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's not how it is in your prayer book, by the way. They've retranslated it. But how many of us, even when we have the privilege, go to that second or third translation to see how another interpreter may have read it? Another translator may have brought it to our ears and our mind in another way. Are we really digging into, are we really taking joy in the fact that the Word of God is in us, is given to us into our hands? Now, there was a time, and I remember getting into sort of an argument, not an angry argument, but an argument with someone once when they read that during the English Reformation, Thomas Cranmer, the archbishop, under his authority, there was a new translation of the Bible made into English. They called it the Great Bible because it was big, big. And he commanded that a copy of the Great Bible be chained to the pulpit in every church. And I had somebody come to me one time and say, see, the church wanted to control the scriptures. They wouldn't let anybody read it. I said, you're entirely wrong. The concept of having a Bible printed that you had in your house was unheard of in the 16th century. Nobody could afford that. Most of the clergy didn't even have their own copy yet. They chained it to the pulpit so that everybody in town could get access to it and nobody could hoard it for themselves. The churches were open. I have access to the Word of God. Now we have it in our homes. We have access to the Word of God in a way that prior generations could not have imagined. The Word of God is given to you. It is not given into the hands of elites. It is not my, even though I have, I like to collect letters after my name, I'll be honest. Okay? I like to collect letters after my name. Those letters after my name give me no insight into the mind of God that is not available to you. I may have a job of preaching, but it does not give me any insight into the reality of what God is doing in this world. It gives me no leg up on you. It also means that you have to approach your faith not as something that you come here so I can do something to you. We have fallen over and over in the history of the church, culturally, linguistically, in all kinds of ways, that somehow I don't really understand this God thing, so I'll go to the holy man or the holy woman, and they'll walk around me and sprinkle me with something, and that'll take care of my God stuff for now. No. This is between you and God. He is available to your spirit. I want you to turn with me to the hymn that we opened with today, number 372, and I want to look at some of the words of that hymn. Hymn number 372, the third verse specifically, and the fourth. His spirit floweth free, high, surging where it will. In prophet's word he spoke of old, he speaketh still. Established is his law, and changeless it shall stand, deep writ upon the human heart, on sea, on land. That's your heart, every one. Not a secret for me to reveal when I feel like it. Not a power that the priesthood or the bishop has that we control. The Holy Spirit goes where the Holy Spirit decides to go. And there's nothing that anybody with robes or collars or letters after their name can do to control that Holy Spirit of God. That is not what we are supposed to do. So we, people who are, you know, the professionals, we have to make sure that we don't approach this thing as we have the power, you come to us, we will bestow grace on you. Aren't you so grateful? We have to make sure we're not acting like that. But you have to make sure you're not acting like that. You have to make sure that in your daily, weekly life in God, you're not saying, well, I don't know much about God, and I really can't understand it, so I'll just go to church and maybe something will happen to me. You can't live your Christian life like that. The Holy Spirit was given to each one of you. Now, there was a time, and the prophet Jeremiah says there was a time where the people didn't understand, but God says, I'm going to create a new covenant, and I'm going to write my law on their hearts. Not like the old covenant. But I'm going to create a covenant where they will not have masters who point the way to God, for every one of them will know me. That's encouraging. And we say it in our baptismal liturgy, we say it in our confirmation liturgy. But how many of us really believe and act and pray and inquire into the mind of God as if we have that gift to understand? How often do we fall back into that familiar pattern of the people standing at the bottom of the mountain and Moses, or the priest, going and doing the holy thing and coming back down and sprinkling it on us? That's a model we can't afford to live with because it's the model that God threw out. It happened at Mount Sinai, but on the day of Pentecost, God flipped that model over, and instead of waiting for someone to climb up into the heavens to get the Holy Spirit, he poured out the Holy Spirit on the world. And I don't know when the last time was you tried to control a flood, but good luck. The Holy Spirit is poured out from heaven on the world, on the people of God, and I would argue on everyone, on the whole human race. God's intention is that every one of us know him. Every one of us know our identity in God and not rely. it doesn't take away the reality of the church. Okay, I'm not talking about some radical, you know, me and God off, you know, on my own kind of thing. Okay, because I realize that even though I study the scriptures, the most poignant things I've learned about God and the ways of God and the life of the Holy Spirit have come out of the mouths of fellow Christians for me. If I come into my relationship with you as your priest, and I think somehow that I have the answers and there's nothing you can teach me, our relationship is broken. Because most of the time, when I hear the word of God, it comes out of the mouth of one of you. I can't be elitist about that. And you can't be elitist saying, you can't say about yourself, I can't know God, I can't study the scriptures, I can't come to wisdom. Look at the psalmist. He wasn't one of the teachers, and yet he was wise because the law of God had taken root in his heart. If Christ takes root in my heart, if he takes root in your heart, then we are all one in him. Our identity isn't, I'm one of the elites, look what I get to do. Or your identity isn't, I don't have the secrets, I have to rely on one of them. Our identity is in Christ. And in him, our voice reaches all the way to the throne of the eternal God, and the voice of the eternal God reaches all the way to each one of us. You are not excluded because I have a title. I believe that each one of us, now I don't know if we stand, you know, if St. Peter meets us at the gate of heaven or not. I don't know who made that up. If it's true, fine. If it's not, I have no idea. But I like to think about it this way, that when we get to the gate of heaven and St. Peter looks at us and says, why should you be allowed in? We will look through the gate of heaven and up that main street, that broad golden avenue, and we will see the throne of God. And at the center of the throne of God, we will see Jesus himself standing there. And I will look at St. Peter and say, I'm allowed in because I'm with him. And my prayers have been going all the way to the pinnacle of that mountain because I'm with him. And I've been hearing his word because I'm with him. And that's you. Every one of you is identified as in Christ. You're one of his. You're with him. Your voice reaches to the throne. As Jesus tells us about the unjust judge, and I remember the unjust judge in the parable only gives the woman her request because she's annoying. Okay? You can usually find even evil people who will give you what you want if you annoy them bad enough. That's what Jesus is saying. But your Heavenly Father isn't like that. He actually hears your voice. He wants to give to you. And his impetus to give to you, as one of our colleagues says, he desires to give more than we even ask or deserve. His desire to give is greater than our desire to ask. So when we ask him, he says, do you think the Father will delay in giving? Or in another parable, when he says you, he's talking to the people. He says, you who are evil, if your child asks you for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? Well, of course not. Well, so much more, the loving eternal Father will give good gifts. That means your voice, not through your priest. Your voice, when you pray, reaches the very throne of God, the ears of the eternal Almighty One, and he wants to care for you. We can't fall back into that overly human pattern of needing access through some priest who's going to sit us down and do spirituality to us or do holiness to us. That's not how this works. The Christian gospel is the gospel that after Jesus is risen from the dead, that he pours out his spirit on every single one of us, and every one of us can hear his word. Every one of us can discern his will. Every one of us can enter this place with the voice of praise that it truly knows God. And I wonder how often we really believe that. Or we take the easy way out. And for the priest, the easy way is to be elitist and is to be controlling and to be proud of myself and to say, look what I get to do to these people every week. I get to sprinkle them with God. And they should be so grateful to me. which of course is a really, really bad way to do the job. And you, as the people who are the laity of the church, the laos, the people, the body of Christ, you don't fall into the same error of saying, I'll just let it go easy and I won't really work at my spirituality and I'll go and hope Father can sprinkle me with something holy when I go. Because that's not what God has called you to. He has called you to daily holiness. He has called you to knowing and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit and ministering to one another and ministering to me. He's poured out his Spirit on all flesh. This is the promise that God gives in Jeremiah, that Jesus gives us an example of in saying that our voices are heard by a loving, caring, generous God, and that the psalmist takes great joy in. And so I would invite you into that kind of expression of your faith, where you're listening to the Spirit of God because that Spirit is within you. That you're reading the words of God because the Word and Torah of God are stamped on your heart. And that you open your mouth in praise of God because by the Holy Spirit you know that God. It's not a human pattern. We like our hierarchies. We like our incantations. We like our ritual magic. But this is not a faith of ritual magic and incantations. It's a faith of life in the very Spirit of God for every one of us as persons and all of us as a people. That I hope you come to believe more fully. Amen.